Your speaker, Mike Bost.
Usually when I'm teaching in a teenage class or in the young adult class, I talk to them. It's usually lessons about encouraging them at how they can go through whatever troubles they're having throughout their life and how they can apply Bible principles to those to help them through whatever situations they may find themselves in. They have to realize, or we have to realize, that with God's help, pretty much anything is possible. Sure, there's difficulties that come our way, but how are we going to handle them? The good thing, but there's also good things that come along that we should celebrate also. Tonight is no different. I just simply want to encourage you. Look at things throughout the Bible that may help prioritize what Christ is in your life or the gospel is in your life. This may seem like an elementary sermon to you. It is to me because this is my first. But it's something we can share together, and I want to look at some verses that are familiar verses that I just use to help to realign my life with the difficulties that I may following through going out into the world and working or raising a family, the difficulties, the situations that you might find yourself in a church situation or a friend situation, and just in looking at things, it's what's important, so to speak. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you please, the text from the lesson is going to come from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, 'If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Jesus was teaching that a mere profession that you're a Christian is not enough to satisfy Him. For you to go and say that, "I am a Christian," that's one thing, but that's not all. That's not everything. That professing must be followed up with an adhering, staying attached to His teaching. Just saying it doesn't necessarily mean it. Jesus was speaking also of the spiritual freedom from sin and its effects. What I want to look at is the word continue in verse 31. It says, the New King James has it as abide. It's meaning to stay, to live within, or to take up residence. If you are to continue in His Word as disciples, it means our thoughts, our actions, our conversations, everything that goes throughout our daily lives, Christ is going to be seen. It says we're living the God's Word to a degree that it controls our actions. It's not just that mere, like I was saying in the first page there, it's not just the mere profession that you're a Christian. It's you're working as a Christian. You're studying as a Christian. You're doing the things you need to do. It's in your actions. Jesus made it clear that continuing in Him and His Word meant a freedom from sin. In Galatians 2:20 it reads, says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. Talking about how we're dead to sin. And like I say, I'm going to use a lot of verses because I'm just looking at the verses that I look at that help encourage me throughout my life and whatever troubles that I may have. And hopefully it'll encourage you and help you in some small way. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11 says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also the likeness in His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, the body of the sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God throughout Jesus Christ our Lord." Do you remember when you were baptized? Do you remember when you maybe hit that rough spot in your patch of your life where you came forward and asked for forgiveness of sins? I mean, I do. I remember when I was baptized, and I remember I've had those tough spots in my life where I had to say, I messed up. I was wrong. And you go forward and you take care of it. I tell the kids in class sometimes, we'll use the example, you sit there and you hold on to that pew because it's going to save you from something. I don't know what. But when in reality, it's holding you back. When you finally decided, you remember that zeal you had? You remember that relief you had? I do. That relaxation where you can say, I'm safe right now. Right now, everything's good. I can't mess up. That's what we're looking for. That's that adhering. That's that staying with. That's that being attached. How do you keep that? I appreciate Noah reading. It's a lot of verses, but I want to use the example. I always try to find some examples of guys in the Bible that just encourage me. And you look at these guys, you know, like I picked Stephen. excuse me. So in Acts 6, he says he was full of faith, power, and great wonders and miracles. And then he was falsely accused and brought before council. It's said to have faith of an angel. Stephen had that confidence. He was chosen. Sure, the apostles, the chosen ones laid their hands on him. He had the wisdom. He was able to perform miracles. But he still had that confidence. The people chose, they get Stephen. He's wise in his ways. He can handle the situation. The people look to him. I don't know if he got what he was in for, if he knew what he was in for. None of us know what we're in for, how we want to lead by an example. But Stephen took the challenge, and he taught. He went, and he ministered to them. And then he was brought before the council and falsely accused. Now, think about that. I'm scared here in front of y'all. Y'all want to hear the word. Stephen's standing in front of the guys, don't want to hear it. But yet he taught them. He told them. And he said, you need to change. What'd they do? They killed him. And think about that. What troubles do we have in our lives? What struggles do we really have? Sure, health issues. Sure, there's difficulties that come along life financially. Four kids, that does that. There's many difficulties. But what's important? Here's another example that may be closer to what relates to me and you. It says, many of us today live busy lives. We're working. We're going to and fro. We're having school. We're raising families. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, now it came to pass that they went and they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. He said, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, Christy calls me Martha, Martha all the time because I'm a worrywart. I get tore up. This week's been rough, I'll just tell you, because this is nervousness a little bit. But it's okay. We can do it. We have to look what's important. We have to put aside the cares of the world. I think about how we go throughout our lives and we look at how we want to raise our children to be the smartest ones in class. And that's wonderful because you're going to succeed in life and that's great. We all want to be financially sound. We want to have everything in the world. You know, if they're playing ball, we want them to be the all-star athlete that's out there that's going to get the scholarship and they get that free ride and I can watch them on Saturdays play football. You want them to see them go on to have all the money in the world. They don't have the stress and the worries that you may have or that I have of raising a family. Because y'all know how hard it can be to raise a family. But what about spiritually? Where does that fit in? For the most part, I think we do a pretty good job. But is it priority? I was fortunate. I was brought up in the church. Most of y'all have known me all my life. Y'all probably were here the first time I was here, some of y'all. I was fortunate. I had wonderful Sunday school teachers. You know, I can think back about Barbara. I can think back about Miss Iona. Iona Reynolds teaching me. I can think back to Miss Del McHale. I can think back to Pat Garger. I can think back to Wilma. I can think back to many teachers that taught me. And the struggles that they had keeping me in line because I wanted to have fun. But prioritizing. Making Christ first in your life. Don't be the Martha with your cumbered about in your everyday lives that you're tore up about everything that you that doesn't really matter. Sure, some things are important, but what really matters? So the Bible is full of examples, full of direction and directions to travel as a Christian throughout our life. If you would, turn with me to 2 Peter. I really hope my voice holds out. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. We want to be abiding disciples, followers. We want to be abiding Christians. We want to continue. True disciples are diligent students of the Word. We can read that in 2 Peter 3:18 where it says he talks about growing grace and knowledge. You look at Acts 17, it talks about when Paul and Silas in Berea, and they were fair there and warned to be fair-minded. So delivered the word unto them, they took it, but they didn't only take it, they went and they studied it and applied it and carried it throughout their lives. Growth is only going to be possible if we make a determined decision to learn and apply as much as we can throughout the word, about the Word of God. It's up to us. It's up to each one of you. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to carry out your family? You know, it's your decision. It's what you do and what you search and what you look for. You know, God didn't supply that. He didn't say, well, you're a Christian now. Everything's okay. I try to tell the kids in the class, and the kids at home too, becoming a Christian, we look at that plan of salvation, which we'll look at here in just a minute. We go through all those steps trying to get there, but once we get to the Christian, sometimes we plane off. Not always, but sometimes. When I try to make those kids realize in class, and us tonight, that you're just beginning. The Word's just beginning. I'm not trying to make it sound impossible. I'm trying to make it sound important. And to each one of you, and to encourage you to take the time. What we just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, applying all those characteristics that he's talking about. If those things abound in us, the diligence, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, we're going to abound. We're going to do the things that's right. We're going to do the things that we're supposed to do. We have to be mindful of those things. What's the ultimate result of abiding and continuing in Jesus' Word? Well, in Titus 1:2, it says the hope of eternal life, a home in heaven. It says it's what we're looking forward to, and look at what we're looking towards. Well, how's your journey going? Are you still doing those things? Are you still abiding? Are you still continuing? Are you encouraging? It's a question that's really only you can answer. It's only a question that you will answer for and to. If you would, flip over to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. says, and when he had called the people unto him, for the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if we shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. Following Christ is going to take a commitment. Are you saved? Are you? Are you guiding your life in the direction to get to heaven? Maybe you're not baptized. Have you thought about it? Have you processed the things of the plan of salvation that I'll read in just a minute? It's up to you. Totally up to you. I can encourage you. Your parents can encourage you. That's what I tell them in class. Each one of you can encourage each other. Your husband, your wives, do you work together? Do you try to accomplish things to get each other to heaven? You know, I was thankful. I wasn't going to share personal stuff, but I'm going to share personal stuff. You know, I'm thankful for Christy. Christy pushes me from the beginning. I'm sure my mother prayed for me to find a wife, someone like Christy, because it's going to help me straighten up myself. And she did. But it takes that. It takes having a family member. It takes having that special friend, that special bond that's going to help you get to heaven. Some families aren't fortunate enough to have it. Some families have to find it on their own. Some people have to search it out for themselves. And it's harder. Like I said, I was lucky. I was born into the congregation or the Church of Christ. I was able to hear it from the ground up. What about those we're trying to encourage to bring in the church? What do we do? Are we helping them? I think we are. I think we're striving to. I think we're trying to. But we can't stop. We worry about many things. It goes back to the Martha, Martha. What's important? God's Word is important. Those lessons are important. Maybe you're not baptized. Maybe you're not baptized and have thought or studied the verses about the plan of salvation. The hearing the Word found in Romans 10:17. The belief that's found in Hebrews 11:6. The repent found in Acts 17:30. The confessing Christ as the Son of God is found in Acts 8:36-39. And being baptized in Acts 2:38. But also that remaining faithful. That remaining faithful that we sometimes seem to forget about. It's found in Romans and Revelation 2:10. Maybe you just found yourself back in the world, finding struggles. It's easy to do. The world's always there pulling at you because the world's way is easy. Narrow is the path and wide is the gate. You remember? Those daily struggles, the health issues, makes you not want to go, makes you not want to try. But I'm telling you, you can. Just like I tell those kids. These verses that I've shared with you, the from Luke and from Mark and from 2 Peter, those are the ones that I turn to. When difficulties arise, what's important? You being saved, that's what's important. You teaching someone else to be saved, that's what's important. So if you're not saved, if you're not baptized, I encourage you to do so. Like I say, this is an elementary sermon. It's short, for one thing. But that's okay. The message is from my heart. The message that I encourage you, if you're not thinking about becoming a Christian, do so. If you are a Christian and you're struggling, do something about it. We're all here for you. We're not here against you. We just want to encourage you.